This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Anthony in San Jose, you're on with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Anthony. We appreciate your call.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? So what it is we just, as fans, we don't want to hear this excuse already saying, well, there's no way it could be Kyle Shanahan, okay? Like, and that's kind of how you guys are projecting it, and that's how we're hearing it. Even though we know that if we had another coach, this would not be happening, and we'd be going the other way for sure.
I got questions, Anthony. Hang on. So I get what your premise is, and the idea that there's no way it could be on Kyle, and if we sound like that, then hey, we sound like that. That's on us. I don't feel that, because that's sort of projecting what it could be, should be, would be into the future. I'm solely talking about what I see though in these three games. And I'm not even attaching it to Kyle, Anthony. I'm simply saying I don't see the problem being on the offensive side of the ball. But go ahead. What's the rest of what you wanted to say?
What it is I'm just feeling like, okay, in that case, the word execution comes into it. And if your guys are not ready, it's the coach's job to make sure he tells the other coaches, hey, you have them ready. Here's what I'm seeing right now. I don't like it. I don't want to have to step in, but let's get it together. And I see a line drawn in the sand over there on the sideline, like you guys just said. And now he's not over there getting a snack, like you guys are, you know, kind of, you know, you're jokingly saying.
Right.
But what is really going on there is my question. And there obviously is something that Shanahan's not doing to not have these guys ready to finish at the end of the game. How come Cowing wasn't in there? Why was Bell in there to drop balls? Because all of us are thinking, why is Cowing not in the game? Well, so maybe you guys can elaborate on that part.
Absolutely, yeah, we can, because he spoke to it today. Anthony, thank you very much.
That's
for the
call. Call, Anthony.
Do I have that in front of me, Grandy? The Cowing stuff or no? Do I have it or no?
Yes, you do.
Which one is it? Where are we?
It's the fourth one from the bottom.
Yeah, thank you. Fourth one from the bottom. All right. So the thought was out there. Thank you, Grandy, for my roadmap. Remember, toward the end of last week, and if I'm misquoting, I apologize, but I think the quote was from John Lynch, you might see Jacob Cowing in this game with no Debo and no George. You might see Jacob Cowing in this game. It got a lot of us thinking, oh, we're going to see Jacob Cowing in this game.
Oh, we saw him in the game.
Well, he was there.
Four snaps of special teams.
He had a ticket. But that sort of indication got our minds going a certain way, and then it didn't happen. So Kyle was asked about that today.
Because it wasn't the plan. If there would have been injury, he would have, but he wasn't ready to do that yet, and so we kept him at punt returner. But you have five guys up, so if someone did get hurt, he had to be ready, and then he would have got those reps.
You getting close to being ready for that?
We'll see this week. Nothing's happened here in the last few days. We got practice today, and we'll see how he does. I hope so.
So, look, I have no idea if that, did he do something wrong? Was there a setback? Was that just John Lynch said something that maybe was sort of taken the wrong way? I don't know. But Kyle Shanahan is rocking a very clear, Jacob's not ready.
Right.
And I'll back him only from this perspective. When we as fans go, why not Jacob Cowing? What makes us think we know what Jacob Cowing will do in the NFL? He's never run a route in the NFL.
Well, because he hasn't been given a chance to run a route in the NFL.
And now we're back to Steve Kerr. This is the conversation we have, and Trey Lance for that matter. This is a fault of all of us fans sometimes. I'm not saying we're wrong. I'm just saying we don't know that we're right. Like, just because someone got drafted, that does not mean that they are ready and that they will be good. And that is the coach's job, who sees these players a billion times more than we do.
Yet you put a guy out there who cannot catch. He had three targets in the game, and the only one he caught was the last play of the game when they literally were begging him to catch it so that they could watch him run around and flip and lateral and throw. And Dominic Pooney got involved in the play, and you know they had about seven laterals. That was the only catch he had. Yet the guy you spent draft capital on is not ready. He's ready to be a special teamer and return punts, but he's not ready to even go in week one garbage time against the Jets.
I mean, running routes is a lot different than catching a punt.
Right.
Like, I don't know. At a certain point, do you trust coaches when they say stuff like that? You know what I mean? Like, again, we did this with Trey Lance. We've been doing it with the Warriors, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, on and on and on. I just think that it doesn't mean we're automatically wrong, but we get excited about young players because they're fresh and they're new and we want to see them. That does not mean that they'll be good if they play.
But it also means that if they don't play, they don't have a chance to be good. And I'm thinking about Isaac Garendo in the week two game against Minnesota, where he got one tentative carry, 0 yards, end of Garendo in week two. And well, he goes through practice and he obviously looked better. And he got a chance to actually get in there and be this RB2, and he got some carries, and he looked better.
But they don't have any other running backs. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right, but if he didn't look ready, he wouldn't have played him. He would have done something else. He would not have played Garendo just because, oh, we're fresh out of backs. He played him because he thought that he was ready.
Oh, well, probably a little bit of both. But, yeah, I understand. I mean, all of their backups behind Jordan Mason are pups. They're all either new, they're somewhat inexperienced. You know, like, I get it. But this is something that we go through, I think, every year with teams that are considered contenders. When you talk about, well, a player doesn't get a chance to be good if they don't have a chance to develop, well, how do you develop when you're trying to win a championship? Is that the time? Like, I even felt that to a degree. This is a different subject. When TJ Houshmandzadeh yesterday keeps saying, you got to let Brandon show and prove that he's the $30 million receiver that you paid him to be. And I'm like, are we on some sort? Is it preseason right now? Like, what's the goal here? Are we trying to, like, justify contracts? Are we trying to justify draft picks? Or at all costs, are we trying to win this game? I just don't understand. To me, there's no time for that. You have to earn your way onto the field. And if in practice, highly trained coaching staffs are assessing that you have not done so yet, then you don't get on the field unless it's an emergency.
And that's what Kyle said.
That's what he said.
He said, you know, we had five of them up, and if somebody got hurt, then he would be put in there, but he's not ready. And I look at his trajectory, and I can't imagine that he'll be suddenly ready through practice today, practice tomorrow, practice Friday, and a walkthrough. And now Cowling's going to go from zero to hero. Because he's only played 11 snaps of special teams. He's played no snaps of 11-on-11 scrimmage line football. So Kyle's telling you that he's not going to play this week either.
I don't know if he's saying that
special
yet.
Teams.
Well, no, because remember now, all you're trying to do is tell the coaches that you're more ready to perform than Ronnie Bell is. That's all you have to do. That's your line. Could that change this week? Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Jacob Cowing, his NFL career has been 3 weeks long. So this practice week, that is 25% of his NFL career.
Right.
Like, you,
I like your use of the math there.
Well, but
you
I mean,
I love the math.
But you have a two-year-old. You know that if you went on vacation for a week and a half, you'd come back and you'd be like, holy hell.
Yeah.
She's different.
Sometimes at the end of the day.
Yeah, like it happens fast. So I don't think he's giving you lip service there when he says maybe he will be ready by Sunday for a larger role.
And I think a larger reason, which would be out of desperation,
sure,
because Ronnie Bell has 16 targets in his career, and he had three targets in the game on Sunday, two drops, and a meaningless catch for 12 yards. So the bar is not set very high for Jacob Cowing to clear, and yet he wasn't even able to clear it in that game. And You know, Chris Conley, similarly, and I know he's a little bit of a different player than Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell's much more of a vertical threat, and, you know, Cowing's got those quicks, too.
Yep.
So Cowing is much more in the Ronnie Bell role, I would say. So, man, if it doesn't happen soon, if, as a Niner fan, you have to go out there and watch Ronnie Bell again as wide receiver three, everyone's going to be holding their collective breath.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That's just kind of like, to me, that's the cherry-picking thing that we do, and I get it. It's not that it's unfair, but like, when Ronnie Bell goes out onto the field and he drops a ball, and then suddenly we've got a march on the Capitol with regard to the idea of, why is Ronnie Bell even on the team? Well, Ronnie Bell's been on the team for 2 years. Nobody said boo.
Because he hasn't played.
Well,
and now he's playing.
Actually, he did.
And now we're also saying boo.
He has played.
And you see what I did there?
Very good.
I had to make sure that got recognized. I thought it was
last
genius.
Last year on the home opener, you and I go out there. We go to the Hilton. We do our show. We go to the game Thursday night against the New York Giants. What happens? Ronnie Bell plays a huge role. Catches a touchdown. Ronnie Bell had an impact in that game.
Yeah, three touchdowns for the year.
Yeah.
183 snaps on offense last year.
But you drop one ball.
Two,
but one that mattered.
Yeah.
You drop that ball, and now we're going all the way back 2 years to your idiots for even having him on the team. And I guess that's what I'm getting at, fundamental to the conversation we had off the top of the show. Like, do you want to be mad that Ronnie Bell's on the team? Great, be mad that Ronnie Bell's on the team. I don't think he's that great either. But everybody's fifth or sixth receiver is A, not that good, like not that sparkly, and B, I don't care if you're wide receiver eight. You miss a ball, that's on you. You're a professional football player. That's not on the coaching staff. That's not on John Lynch because Ronnie Bell dropped a ball. It's on Ronnie Bell.
It's on John Lynch for selecting the player, and it's on Kyle for the player still not being better.
It's one drop. You're going to go backwards now and go call it a bad draft pick, which I don't even know what round it was.
I think it's fifth round.
Because he dropped a ball. I mean, Debo has dropped a ball. Brandon has dropped a ball. Brandon's dropped a few balls this year.
Right. It's not that this is a fireable offense, but you look at the picks and... Yeah, he was a seventh-round pick. So, a late throwaway pick, although we don't get to say that anymore because of Brock Purdy. Those are no longer throwaway picks. Those are, yeah. You better be a Hall of Famer, because that's where that bar has been set.
Juwan, too, by the way.
Sorry about that.
Those are both seventh-round picks
yeah.
that were running all over the field
and,
last week.
And Tatum Bethune, this last year, seventh-rounder. He's played a couple of games on special teams, but it's not about, you know, Cowing versus Bell. Because if you're getting down to a Cowing versus Bell debate, your team is either not very good or racked with injury or both. But I'm just anxious to see Cowing. He was behind. Remember, he got hurt.
Yep.
And so he was behind in camp. But he's been able to play special teams 3 weeks now. So he's clearly healthy enough and good enough to be out on teams. But is he not good enough to at least be out there and run a couple of routes?
I also remember, and I can't remember if it was Brandon who said this, but someone told us a few years ago at the wide receiver position, it actually might have even been before I got over here, it might have been Kendrick Bourne, but it's something that has been discussed in the NFL for a while, which is that for a wide receiver, Kyle Shanahan's playbook is one of the hardest to learn right out of the gate in the whole league. That's a reputation. I'm not a wide receiver. I've never read the playbook. I don't know. That's what I'm told by those who are in it trying to learn it. And so I don't think it's crazy. And I know we do this and we've done it with Steve Kerr. Like, gosh, stop hating on the young people or whatever. But when you're early in a season and early in a career like that, even if physically you're like, all things are equal, or gosh, even if Cowing, you're like, oh, no, he's a little bit better. But it's the fourth quarter of a close game on the road. Who am I going to trust right here to run the right route? I get it. I get it when coaches are like, let me take the guy who, just, hang on, let me just take the guy here for a moment who's been here for a little while. I get it. obviously, it would have been better if he'd caught the ball.
Yes. And the real truth of this is, if Ricky Pearsall had not been shot,
there's that too.
Ricky Pearsall is the guy who's playing, and Ronnie Bell is not. Conley's played 58 snaps. Ronnie Bell's played 49 snaps. Jacob Cowing, zero snaps. So could he not be out there for five or six and get the toe in the water like they did Guerrero? That's the part where fans are questioning what's going on, because Ronnie Bell, second year, he's kind of had the dropsies in the short time of his career.
He had it in the preseason when he was a rookie, and then he had it in this game. I don't know. Does he have any other like high-profile drops that I'm blanking on? I've never, like...
Yeah, give me Greg Cosell, who's seen every snap of Brock Purdy's career.
But you know what I mean. Like, I remembered in the preseason last year, but who cares?
Right.
I don't care that he dropped balls in the preseason. I thought he was fine in the very, very limited duty that he had last year. That's always been my perception of Ronnie Bell. It's not, like, offensive until Sunday.
No. Well, it just looks to me like he has the yips. You know, when the ball's coming to him, you got nerves, and maybe he's trying too hard to make a big play. But
did it look like that before this Sunday? Ever before?
I think he's had issues with drops. I'll have to go back and look at the tape tonight. I'll go through every one of Ronnie Bell's targets, and I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Raj in San Jose with Willie and
Gibby. There are only 16 of them, so it won't take that long.
Good point. Hi, Raj.
Hey.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What's up, guys? I think this whole Ronnie Bell talk is just complete nonsense. He's a second-year player. He ran a good route. If he makes that catch, we're having a whole different conversation on this. We, as, like, you know, Niner fans should be, you know, trying to get him confidence, not, you know, dragging down and saying, let's cut him. Ayuk, if anything, needs criticism because he showed up out of shape. You know, but we still got Guerrero. Guerrero seemed like he's a good short down back. You know, he could probably get those 2 yard gains consistently if you ever need 2 yards. And then you got, you know, Patrick Taylor too as a third string, who was really good at college. So I think this could be our time to, you know, really get these young guys involved while these, you know, veterans are out. And I think that's just going to help the Niners down the road if, you know, just in case, you know, we do lose, you know, Kittle for the season, or God forbid, you know, lose someone else. But that's just my 2 cents on it.
Yeah, Raj, thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, there is always that possibility that this is a big old silver lining, and that 5 weeks from now, the 49ers are experiencing relative health, and then people who, you know, weren't going to get experience got experience, and that makes you a deeper team down the road. Sure.
Yeah, potentially. Possible. And he's got 49 snaps, so let's not overblow how Who? Much Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
So he's
No, but I mean, he's mentioning Guerrero. Like, let's have a scenario. Yeah. Like, well, what if by week 11, Christian McCaffrey is playing football again? And now you got Jordan Mason and you got Guerrero, but you got Guerrero who had about 8 weeks of some experience that he wasn't going to get.
I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? That's all possible.
Yeah, and it's also possible that you're 3-6. And so then maybe McCaffrey gets shelved and then Guerrero gets a lot more experience, because as it sits right now, McCaffrey likely out for 4 to 6 more weeks, so you're aiming for after the bye. Debo, we don't know. I haven't seen any reports of him, you know, and what he's doing. I know he won't be at practice because he's out for a couple of weeks. And George Kittle becomes the really interesting one for me, because it seems like of the three injuries, his was the least severe.
And I think that the practice reports today bear out exactly what you're saying. There was no mention of Debo because they had already mentioned last week that he would miss this week as well. So I think the two things you're looking for going into practice today are participation from Brock Purdy and George Kittle, and you got it.
Yep.
And for Brock, you got it at full participation with absolutely no constraints. That's wonderful. And George, you got it on a limited basis, which I'd also argue is a good thing because it would be stupid for them to make him a full go when what he was dealing with was a hamstring, and he's George Kittle.
Yeah.
He's very experienced. You don't need to overly worry about Wednesday, but if you're practicing him on a Wednesday, I think that means they're feeling pretty good about his chances to be ready to go this week.
Agreed. And yeah. He was limited, which means the hamstring's feeling well enough for him to go out there and run around on the side and be at least a participant. It will be interesting to see tomorrow where he comes out on the report, if he's still limited. Maybe Friday he's a full go and you start to ramp him up. The other one that is, I'm going to keep one eye on, not two eyes, Trent Williams, who is sick. And, you know, sometimes if you're sick, you could have, you know, an illness that would prevent you from being around other people. And if you're really sick, that might cost you a game. And we know that so far, even when Trent's been healthy, he's had IVs in the last two games. So from a health standpoint, of course, you're always hoping that everyone's healthy, but Trent's needed a couple of IVs. He's been fatigued and exhausted at games, and now he's sick. This is not a good start for Trent.
I actually called Trent and found out what the illness is. Trent is sick with a case of the 36s.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
well, you
the
know,
name
he always gets a Veteran Day.
Yeah.
But normally when he gets the Veteran Day, they just say, oh, he was out for a Veteran Day.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, here's Kyle Shanahan on the all the injuries.
Javon Hargrave, triceps will not practice. Debo, calf, won't practice. D. Winters, ankle, won't practice. Trent Williams is sick, won't practice. George Kittle, hamstring, limited.
Brock Purdy's full go?
Full go.
Everything?
Yep.
Okay, so there's the update. By the way, sneaky one in there that's unfortunate, which is that D. Winters is also just in the bucket of won't practice. And I was worried about that. When they said ankle injury last week, there wasn't really a whole lot made about it. I think that there is some bubbling below the surface excitement about D. Winters based on what we saw in the preseason. And add that with the angst of Devondre Campbell. I'd love to see him get in there. And the tone that you just heard today would suggest that D is not trending in the right direction.
No, and he's played six snaps. And it was a re-injury of the ankle that he'd been dealing with. And I'm not going to go too far with my medical doctor degree, but I'll just say that's not good.
It's not good.
When you have a couple of weeks where you're out with an injury and within six snaps, it's a re-injury. So now that leads me to the questions about the defense again, because what are you going to do? You've got Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles, who's played about 25%, and he's normally your third linebacker when you play your base defense. And then you've got the aforementioned Devondre Campbell, who's played 92% of the snaps. Great against the run.
Yep.
A little scary against the pass. So not only do you have no Javon Hargrave, you got Charvarius Mooney-Ward, who might be a little bit hampered, not listed on the injury report. And, you know, you got no D. Winters, you got no Dre Greenlaw. It's going to be up to the coordinator to do some creative things here.
Until this lasts longer, I'm going to believe that it's at least possible, if not probable, that the 49er defense is in a period of evaluating, tweaking, figuring it out. New coordinator, some new positions, all of that stuff. I know everybody at the beginning of the season could argue that, but these are the 49ers. They got a little bit more of a track record than some of these other teams. And so when you say, well, gee, how are they going to fix it? I mean, I can't sit here and give you the X's and O's of how they're going to fix it, but I don't think it's out of the question that the players you're watching now just play better. This is the most simplistic answer I could give you, but I don't think that that's crazy. I think the coordinator can try some new things. If the vanilla's not working, you know what I mean? Put some sprinkles on it.
Yep.
Like, let's go.
I was a big fan of the caramel sauce as a kid.
Yeah. Make it one of those ice cream shops that's got all the toppings over there in the bowls. Put some Reese's or some Butterfinger. I don't know, some M&M's. Stick that in there, mix it up, and see if you can be a little bit more of a delicious defense.
And I like the analogy. I like the sweet treats. And the other piece, which is not sexy, but Javon Hargrave is most likely to go on IR, if he hasn't already. I don't think he would have mentioned the injury until he goes on IR.
They did not say IR.
So once he goes on IR, then there's going to be a corresponding move. I know they signed somebody to the practice squad today, but they're going to have to find somebody to come up and play that D-line.
Yeah, T.Y. McGill. There's a couple other players on the practice squad that are probably competing for the roster spot. I'd expect that you'd get that a little bit later
tomorrow. Tomorrow, Friday. Yeah.
They're also waiting for Kalia Davis to get back healthy.
Right.
Once he comes back, he's probably that roster
spot. Yeah, but I was looking at the knee injury, and it seemed like that one was going to be half the year.
Well, and he's IR, but that would only mean he has to be there at least one more week, right? Just one more week.
Yeah.
That was preseason.
I think Dip is right, though. It's going to be a little bit longer.
Okay.
But when he is available, unless someone else just absolutely blows their expectations away, it's probably Kalia's spot.